Hi everyone, you are listening to Hello Gorgeous Mama with your host Britt Contreras, and I am so excited today, as I always am when I have a special guest on, to bring you a woman that I found on Instagram that she is just inspiring. She shares daily collective readings, and she is just a person that I've been following for some time. I think I came across her profile, I don't want to say coincidentally, because that's never how it is, but I don't honestly remember exactly how I came across her profile, but it interests me because she shares a lot of stuff, of positivity, empowering, light work, and she's also a Reiki master teacher. So without further ado, I'm going to actually have her introduce herself. So Michelle, take it away.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Britt, for reaching out. I actually had made an intention to the universe that I would love to be on more podcasts. So I love that you received that ping from the universe. I'm constantly changing and evolving. And I think that's something I'll touch on in the podcast as well, is, you know, I'm an awakening coach. I really help people kind of step out of the spiritual closet and step into their fullest expression and heal, you know, that's what I did. And I really feel like we are our clients from a few years ago, right? Like who we used to be are who we're helping now. And I focus more on women, but more men have actually been coming into my field. So yeah, I help others really remember their inner guru. Like I am not, I always tell my clients, like, don't put me on a pedestal. You know, I am a human as well, and we're all on our own journey. So I'm a Reiki master teacher. I've taught Reiki. I do healing sessions. I'm a psychic medium. I'm a podcast host of Soul Over Matter. I am an author. You know, there's just so many labels. Sometimes, like, you get to a point in your journey and you're just like, I don't even know what I am anymore. I'm just here to, like, help others remember their power, honestly.
Exactly. So, yeah, I get that, because I always feel like I'm trying to find the terminology for what I'm trying to do, what I want to do now, and it's like, I can't find the vocabulary, but I basically, yeah, I just want to help people.
Before we get into everything, though, I noticed on your profile that you like to travel a lot. Can you tell me a little bit about your traveling experience and how that kind of began?
I left a long-term relationship almost 2 years ago. September, it'll be 2 years. And that was a catalyst of another awakening within me. So I had my initial awakening 5 years ago, and then another one when I realized my partnership, my engagement ended. I chose myself, and then I was called to travel solo all of 2022. And that was its own unraveling, like another layer of who I am. But now I'm actually settled. I found a divine partner 5-6 months ago, and I'm living in Las Vegas. So
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a love story that I prayed for, honestly.
Aww, like that's so sweet.
I awoke. I had my initial awakening when I was with my ex, and I thought he'd grow with me, you know, and it just wasn't happening. And now, after, yeah, that they call it like the heroine journey, right? That like maiden journey of just being out of my own, free spirited, and traveling solo. I'm in the process of writing a book about it, because I know I'm meant to help many women and also some men, you know, break free of the constructs of the labels that society has placed on us, and to continue following your heart and your soul. And like, as I say that, I have chills, because it's like, we're just taught so much in our society and taught to like follow the herd and like follow, you know, get married, go to school, get married, have children, which are all beautiful things. And I pray for babies one day. I know I'm meant to be a mother, but also to find who you truly are in that process, right? And to, I know that that's one of my purposes in this lifetime is to really like break the mold of what it means to be a woman in our society. I'm in my late 30s and I just know like I am here to be that sacred rebel and to really deconstruct a lot of what it means to be a woman in this day and age.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, there's always, I feel like, some cookie cutter definition of how we should be or how we should act or, you know, what boxes do you need to check off? And it's like, no, like everybody, if everybody had it down pat, then, you know, we'd be following the exact same thing and it'd be just pretty much like robots kind of.
Yeah.
So artificial intelligence is coming right now, but it's just like, you know, we are meant to do our, everybody has their own experiences. And I think that's so important that you touched on that. And I love that.
What was the book called?
Wrote a chapter in a co-author book. So I wrote alongside 21 other authors. It's called Heart-Centered Leadership. And you can find that on Amazon. So that was like my first taste of like real writing in spirituality and also just being an entrepreneur. But I have a lot of books inside of me that I know I will be sharing this lifetime.
Awesome. How did your spiritual journey even begin?
Yeah. So ever since I was young, I always knew I was an old soul. I always had this inkling, this like deep inner knowing that there was something bigger than me and that there was more to life than Mother Earth. Like I felt different than kids my age. I felt weird in school. You know, there was just something that was really inherent in my being that like I knew I was on this earth to accomplish something or to like have a purpose. So ever since I was young, I grew up in New York City, which is, as we know, a place with a lot of people and a lot of energy.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of shut down my gifts when I was school age. My mom will share with me all the time, you know, before school started, I was very outgoing, very gregarious, always the leader at the playground. And, you know, at around seven, you're a mom, and for the moms listening, right, it's around seven, children realize that the judgments of others matter to them, right? We are community-based beings, and if we feel that we won't be accepted, you know, we kind of shut down those parts of us that are very individualized. And I really began doing that subconsciously as a child. And I kind of shut down my voice. Like I grew up not raising my hands in class, you know, even in college, like I wouldn't go to the bathroom. I wouldn't want any attention on me. I didn't want a sweet 16 growing up. Like I was a very, I wouldn't say shy, just quiet, very introverted child. But it wasn't that I didn't have anything to say. It was I had so much to say, but I was almost afraid to say it, you know, and I didn't feel supported in that way. Not about my parents, but just in general. It was like this energetic feeling. So I always felt different. I always felt very connected to spirit. When I was a child, I would pray every night for the animals and the children of our planet. Like I just always felt deeply connected to humanity, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in my teen years, I began having like psychic experiences where if I was babysitting, I would feel presences in the house and just energy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I would shut it down. You know, I didn't know. We don't know when we're young, like what this energy is. And my mom was very supportive, but, you know, I was kind of like in the spiritual closet. Like my mom, I grew up with my mom cleansing our house with sage. And, you know, my feminine maternal lineage is very, witchy and spiritual and psychic. So I had that, but it wasn't fostered, I would say. And in my 20s, you know, we go through our 20s, I was drinking and in relationships and, you know, dumbing down, distracting myself from, oh, just, or maybe just even having human experiences, right? Like we come here to experience. So I would have these experiences, but I would just kind of chalk them off. And I started yoga in high school. My dance teacher actually introduced us to yoga at a pretty young age. And I also started meditating in my early 20s. So okay. I had I had these practices. And then I went off to college, and yeah, it was always there, but it was kind of like laying dormant, right? I also believe, like, all of us awakened souls, we always have these moments and these pockets where we reflect and we're like, oh, I've always been tapped in. But my real awakening didn't happen until I left New York 5 years ago. So it's actually 5 years ago this week that we're recording. I left New York City and I moved to San Francisco with an ex-partner. And that's where everything kind of uprooted. I began getting sick a lot and like starting a new job. And it was like something had to give, right? My guides, my higher self, like something was saying, like knocking at my door, like, it's time for you to wake up. Let's go. And I found Reiki. So I got a Reiki healing session done, and I knew in that session that I would become a Reiki teacher. I just had this inner knowing, and I've always been a teacher. I'm a speech therapist. That's what I got my degree in. So I've been working with kids really all my life, but especially the last 11 years. And I've always been this teacher. I've always helped others. You know, a stranger will stop me and just tell me their life story. Like that, people cry in my presence. Like that happens to me all the time, and it's happened to me my whole life. So I knew in that Reiki session, like, I meant to do this and first heal myself, right? Because a lot of us believe that, you know, a lot of us who are empaths, who are highly sensitive souls, we just want to help others. But we have to help ourselves first. And when I had that Reiki session, you know, she shared that a few of my chakras were blocked. So our chakras, right, are these energy centers in our bodies. And if they are not, they're almost like wheels. And if they're not spinning at a certain frequency, they create dis-ease in our bodies, right? They create stagnant energy. So I had to first heal myself. So I really began meditating for hours a day, even with a full-time job. And I was, you know, sharing. I had started a new Instagram that I didn't really tell anyone about. But I just felt called to really begin that awakening journey within myself and to heal myself, right? We all carry trauma. We all carry wounds of our past, also our past lives. And it really starts with us. We can't help anyone outside of us unless we help ourselves.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's so funny that you say that 5 years is kind of ago when your journey like really started, because that is pretty much the exact same timing that my spiritual journey has started too. So it's like, I don't know, it's weird because you know, and I don't think coincidental at all, but a lot of people I feel like are awakening like in their 30s. And I don't know if it's just more of like a maturity thing or what, but same thing in my 20s, I was kind of just doing my own thing. I knew since I was a kid that I had these gifts, but same thing that you were talking about, like I kind of pushed it away because one, I was scared that I was sensing spirit because I had no idea. My parents didn't really know at the time anything about, like, so much spirituality. It wasn't till like, I want to say high school, that my dad really got more into exploring other, you know, religions and learning about different cultures and just was really open to different spiritual practices. So he became more open, like, in high school, for me, so he was very open with me knowing about spirituality during that time. But again, yeah, it wasn't until I was like recently. But I always say, you know, it's funny, like I feel like something is always like a catalyst to kind of jumpstart that spirituality. Like for me, it was my daughter's, like having my firstborn. And I know for you, it's almost like figuring out who you are and traveling and finding your relationship that you have now and that special person. So it's just, it's crazy that there's always like spirit and universe have to sometimes intervene to kind of push us towards the path we're, you know, meant to be on. So, and I love that we connected, because everything you're talking about, like Reiki, like I've been interested in Reiki. And can you explain like what Reiki is exactly?
Yeah. I just wanted to touch on like the 30s. We actually have our Saturn return in astrology. If anyone's listening, they can look up their Saturn return between 28 and 31. So a lot of us, it's almost like the adult, it's like that's when we become an adult in the astrology world, is that maturity. And usually catalyzing moments happen, right? We get married or we move or we have children or we have a divorce, right? Like something happens and a lot of us move through that. And also there are waves of awakening, right? So like 2020, there were, you know, another wave of people that awakened. So a lot, like you and I were on the same wave of 2018, right? So there are different pockets of time where there are millions of people that awaken together. And it's really beautiful. And then there are many catalyzing moments, right? It's like 5 years ago, and then I had another one 2 years ago. It's the ever-evolving journey of being human in this lifetime. Like we really chose big lifetimes to come to Earth because we are in a grand awakening. Mother Earth is in her own awakening ascension process. So yeah, Reiki was also the catalyst for me. And what I love about Reiki, so Reiki is a healing modality. And it really is, so when you break down the word Reiki, R-E-I, mm-hmm. is Rei, and that's like the universe, right? Source consciousness. That's the world, right? And then K-I is chi, life force energy, right? Like what drives our hearts to beat our entire lives? What has the leaves and buds grow on the flowers and the trees, right? Like what is this presence on our planet that is constantly moving within each of us humans as well as the earth, right? And all of her sentient beings. So yeah. What Reiki does.
What it stood for, those two parts, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's from Japan, and it's this healing modality that has to do with our chakras, right? So we have 7 main chakras in our bodies, but then we have over 100 chakras. So the 7 main chakras are the rainbow colors, right? And they go along our spine pretty much. So these chakras, when they are functioning at full capacity, right, we are having good sleep. We are at peace with our lives. We are not stressed. We are going with the flow of life, right? But so many of us are living in this busy world, distracted world. You know, a lot of us are eating foods that aren't necessarily good for us, right? The diet of our culture, especially in America, is not conducive for healing. So when these chakras are blocked, which many of us, you know, mine were pretty much completely blocked growing up in New York. When these are blocked, they create disease, which when you break that down is dis-ease in our bodies, and that stagnant energy gets stuck. So what Reiki does, it kind of comes in, and as a practitioner, I use my hands, which are connected to our heart chakra, right? Our hands are extensions of our heart, and I could do this in person, but I also can do this virtually. I could do this online. I could do this just thinking about someone and sending them Reiki healing. So what I do is I tune into that life force energy that is swirling all around all of us. And what it does is it goes to the person and it knows where to go. Our bodies are so intelligent that the Reiki knows where that person needs healing in their body. And, you know, sometimes in sessions, I've been practicing for 5 years now, sometimes in sessions I will have an inkling, or, you know, I can even tap into past lives. I tap into a lot of things. I don't think I just do Reiki anymore, honestly. But at the core, what Reiki does is it promotes better sleep. It promotes overall emotional well-being. It promotes, you know, self-expression and this inner guidance of, oh, I am my own healer. I have that inner voice that can turn on this energy, right? That can tap into my own self. So that's what Reiki does in a nutshell. I can really go into a lot more, but
no, I love that because I mean, as you know, I have little ones. I have three of them. And since you're mentioning about, you know, the gift that you developed as a child too, like I noticed even in my oldest, she's 6 years old and I know that she's very much an empath. So I try to, when I feel like I'm learning new things, I try to teach her in a way that she would understand as well. So Reiki for me has been very interesting because I know that I think I have that healing ability. I've always been called to be a healer as well. So Reiki has been like something that I've been like very interested in lately. So how did you, I know you talked about like how you began your spiritual practice, but for Reiki, like how did you even kind of like dive into it or find like the right place to go or like learn about it? Like for someone that I guess would be interested in exploring more about it, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so I always say to my clients, my students, Reiki finds you when you're ready. So I wasn't necessarily looking to become a healer. You know, I also think innately most of us are healers, right? You were born a healer. We're born healers. We're born light workers. And then life just kind of gets in the way until we awaken, until we're ready after these experiences that our soul signs up for, right? So when I moved to San Francisco, I was getting sick a lot, right? That dis-ease was happening in my body. My chakras were really blocked. And, you know, as we know, it's like darkest before dawn. So something was telling me, I don't know if it was my higher self, my guides, like, hey, we need something. And Reiki just like came into my mind. So I went on Yelp and I found my now Reiki teacher, who was also a guide for me. And I went to her for a session, and after that session, I just knew, I was like, wow, this was so profound. What Reiki does, it kind of like lifts that dense energy, right? I almost compare it to like wearing a lot of winter coats, and then every layer is taken off, right? Because it's not us, it's the trauma that we're carrying. It's the trauma also of our ancestors. You know, a lot of us are here to clear for seven generations before us and then seven generations after. It's a big work. If you're listening to this podcast, you are doing big work. So after that, I just knew. So that was November 2018. And then I reached out to my teacher in January and was like, hey, are you doing any classes? So I took Reiki level one in January, which is all about self-healing, right? So it begins, Reiki level one is about yourself. And now when I teach it, I have a 21-day self-healing journey. So I have a lecture, right? So I teach Reiki and then I attune. So when you learn Reiki, and anyone can take Reiki level one, you don't even have to have a healing session before. Like, if you are called to this practice, if you are called to learn it, you are going to be on that healing journey regardless. So an attunement is needed. So what I do is or wherever you go for Reiki, the teacher places Reiki symbols into your aura. And that can also spark another journey for you, another awakening, right? More gifts will come online. That tends to happen. Like I started women's circles right after I was attuned to Reiki level one. Like I was starting to really open up my channels again. And then Reiki level two is healing others or facilitating the healing of others, which is where a lot of people begin their healing businesses, right? Where they start charging for healing sessions. And then Reiki mastery level, depending on who your teacher is, that is when you can actually teach Reiki to others. So it's just I don't, for me, Reiki was that catalyst of going on my own journey of meditation and of just, I mean, when I was attuned to Reiki, the trees began talking to me. Like, I could actually hear trees on my commute to work saying, like, hey, come stand under us, come hug us, you know, like, mm-hmm. I became really in tune with nature, and Reiki kind of opens you up to realize we are all connected, and as humans, we are not more superior than the animals and even the insects that are on this earth with us.
Right. It's funny that you use that. We're all connected. I mean, we do say that a lot in the spirituality world, but I don't know if you ever watched the show Manifest on Netflix. Which is
yes. Great.
Okay. And for anyone, I'm not going to do spoilers, but for anyone who's interested in it, it kind of like talks a little bit about spirituality in a way, but it talks about callings, you know, and things like that. And it is, I will say, like more exaggerated, obviously, but it's funny because a lot of the stuff in a lot of the episodes, I'm like, hey, they get me. Like, they get like the callings and getting messages, and you say talking or hearing the trees. And someone who might be listening for the first time, like maybe 5 years ago when I was first starting, I'd be like, what is she talking about, talking or listening to the trees? Or even like I would use language like that's crazy for myself when I would talk about my spiritual journey or that I was getting messages, because in the beginning you feel almost like this, like it's weird or like the shock that this is even happening to you. But as you go farther into your journey, you start to understand that really everything is connected, and if you tune in, you do get messages, and anybody can really develop spiritual gifts, because I've come to understand that we all have them. It's just that some people are a little bit closer to hearing those messages than others, because they're either open-minded or they don't shed it away. Like we talked about how we kind of shunned our gifts away in the beginning when we were kids, because, you know, we were almost taught like, maybe don't talk about that because it might be something taboo or to be ashamed of. But now as I'm farther in my journey, and I don't know if you can attest to this, but I feel like now I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what, you're either walking alongside me or you don't get it, but that's okay. I love you from afar if you don't want to be part of this journey. But I know you said your parents were supportive, but have you encountered, as you talked more about your spirituality and more about your gifts, people questioning or not understanding from more of a judgment point than a learning perspective?
Yes, I love that you brought this up, because a lot of the spiritual community, you know, we believe, oh, awakening is going to be great. Like, I'm meditating, I feel amazing. And there is that honeymoon period where you do feel great. But the world kind of comes in, right, and starts questioning, you know, who you are or what you're doing. And you feel so good inside, but the world is going to have its opinions and its judgments. And what I teach to a lot of my clients is, if you are on this path of awakening, it's not going to be rainbows and butterflies all the time. Actually, it's going to be one of the biggest journeys that you'll undertake in your life, because we decided to incarnate in a world that does not want us to be individual, right? Yeah. It doesn't want us to express our truest truth, and it doesn't want us to be happy, honestly. Like, when we really look around, right, a lot of people, it's like misery loves company in the world, and when they see someone who actually is happy, they question it, like, oh my God, she's so happy all the time. And I actually would get that even before I was awakened. In college, people would just think I was happy all the time, and I battled with anxiety and depression and mental health. It runs in my family, you know, and like, I know I'm here to heal that for the generations before me. So when we are awakening, we are really asked to be true to who we are. And it takes practice, and it doesn't happen overnight. And also, once we heal one part of us, right, you know, another part is going to come and come knocking on our door, right? I've been doing this work for 5 years. I've been in the limelight for 5 years, and I'm now moving through another, you know, layer of that trauma or that judgment, right, to share even more and more vulnerably. And it's, we lose people. We do lose people on this journey. And I think that's also a misconception in our society, right? Like, never quit, never, you know, don't get divorced, don't do this, don't do that. And it's like, I left an engagement 2 years ago, and I knew that it was the best decision for me and for my ex-partner at the time, right? Because it's like, we get to quit things because that means that you are ever evolving, you are changing, and not everyone is meant to come with us. And when we release things that no longer serve us, whether that's a person, whether that's a practice, whether that's a job, there's going to be things that come to take its place. And it is painful. There's a grief process that comes with that, because a lot of the world is still in that old construct, right? In that old belief system. So it can feel very lonely. It can feel very overwhelming, right? To the human in us doesn't always understand, although the soul, the higher self, always has that master plan.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you touched on that, because I think, like, people see now, like, in my posts, like, recently, like, for new people, I would say, like, new friends coming around, they see, oh, she's in the spiritual journey, okay, what is this about? But getting there, like, I mean, first of all, like, I'm always on a spiritual journey, and many people that have come on this podcast have said that too, like, we're always on a spiritual journey, or even my mentor that I've had, you know, we're always learning, always adapting. And I think that's, like, another big challenge that people in the spiritual world have, is that there's, like, this expectation that because we're spiritual light workers, that we're supposed to be positive all the time, or, like you said, that awakening period, it's not always, like you said, rainbows and butterflies. And I think that in the beginning, like, I'm such an impatient person in general. So I was like, I want to get to the, you know, where's the part that I've learned everything and I'm ready to go? Now I'm like, okay, no, like, I'm always learning, I'm always adapting. And I think that's, like, been the hardest takeaway and learning curve for me, is as a mom, it has applied, because I'm very hard on myself, like, to be, like, this best version of myself and this best mom and this perfect mom, you know. And I talked about this in the last podcast with the guest, and she told me, you know, why don't you, instead of taking away, because it seems like you like the word perfection a little bit, instead of taking that away, why don't you adapt it to be the perfect version of yourself, the best, you know, in the way I've always said, to be the best version of myself. So it's kind of the same thing. And I thought, you know what, that's true. Like, there's nothing such thing as perfect. But if I can be in that moment, she said, the best version of myself, then that's okay. And if sometimes I fall down or I fell, that's okay too. So I'm learning that. And I love that you touched on those, and how we do lose people along the way that might not understand. And in the beginning, I used to get angry and mad, and like, why is this person not here for me? And why this, why that, you know, why is this happening to me? But now I realize, like we say, it's happening for us. And we can still love those people from afar. And I think another misconception is that we are taught, many of us, especially like in Hispanic cultures and some other cultures, that we have to love our family no matter what, which I still love my family, but that blood is blood, and that you have to always forgive them and da 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 da. But I've learned forgiveness, yes, is important, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't mean that you have to go have coffee with them. You can, you know, you can still love them from afar and say, you know what, we're just on different paths. I still love you, but maybe it's not healthy for the both of us, and we need to go on our own separate journeys. And whether they're family or, you know, ex-fiance, stuff like that. It's just some people are not meant to, I think, be in your life forever. And maybe they're just a part of your journey in one phase of your journey. I don't know. That's kind of like what I've come to understand, because I was so like, that's, I'm like, well, I have to be this person in my life, and they've been in my life, so I have to keep them in my life. But now I realize that's not true. So.
Yeah, I love that you share that. Yeah, because at the end of the day, when we are dimming our light for the sake of someone else being in our life, we are actually self-sabotaging our truth, right? If someone can't understand us, I always say it's like a radio, right? So say before your awakening, you're on the same station as someone else, whether it's a friend, a mother, a partner, right? You're like on that same station as them. But as you're awakening, you move to a different station. Is it higher or lower than the other person? No. But is it different? Yeah. And it's like, how can I minimize my light for the sake of comfort, right? And a lot of us stay comfortable, right? I stay comfortable for a long time in my life, and we have this fear of the unknown. And the thing is, we don't need to know the future. We just need to know the next step. So I agree with you though. Like, yeah, the family over everything. It's like, I believe we choose our family. We choose our parents. We actually choose everyone in our life to experience something with them. And whether that's a lifetime, whether that's a season, whether that's a couple of years, a month even, you know, it's like we all make contracts with each other. And if you realize like something isn't feeling right in your life, that's not to say like, you know, F off and like, you know, cut them out right away, but get curious. I always say get curious with my clients, with anyone that comes to me for coaching, because it's like, you know, tap into your inner child. What does he or she need from this person? Are you receiving an equal energy exchange with this person? Can they really understand you? And, you know, soul family tends to come in when you release these other people that can't support you in a way, because they also can't support themselves, which is a hard pill to swallow sometimes, right? It's like, we want love from other people, but if they can't love themselves at that level, how can we expect them to love us?
That makes sense. That makes so much sense. No, it's just, it's crazy because I keep using crazy, but it's just like, the way I say it is because it's so like incredible to me how the journey can look for everybody. It's so different, but so uniquely like aligned at the same time. So it's just, I don't know, it's insane to hear other people's stories because there's so many similarities too. So I love that we are all having different experiences, but at the same time at the core is like where we're coming to be, like we're learning who we truly are in our souls. So I just love that. But I know you mentioned women's circles. So can you tell me what your women's circles look like? What do you do in your women's circles?
Yeah, so I actually haven't shared a women's circle in a while. I held them for 3 years. I actually released them last summer. I was called to release. I had a women's membership. But I used to hold new moon and full moon women's circles online and also in person when I was living in San Francisco. But they might come back. You know, I am ever changing. Right now, a lot of my energy has been going to my podcast, Soul Over Matter, as well as writing my book about my solo journeys last year, traveling around the U.S. as a woman by herself. I know I'm called to start working with women again in that capacity. I would really just, share, you know, around the moon. The moon is so deeply connected to us as women, right? The moon has 28 days in her cycle, and so do we as women as we are menstruating. And a lot of women are disconnected from their bodies, right? We are also deeply, it's deeply ingrained in the patriarchy to have women disconnected to our bodies. So what I've been doing is teaching women the last 5 years to connect to their womb space, to connect to their true nature. We are actually most psychic and most intuitive on our periods. And that is something that is not talked about in our society because, you know, a lot of women are on birth control. A lot of women are so numb to their bodies. So that's something that it's been a while, but it's funny you ask because I have been called to start sharing more of my workshops and courses about our cycles and just about, yeah, the divine feminine energy that is rising on our planet.
I'd definitely be interested in that because I have the Nexa Planon device, birth control, and I've had it for, I want to say, almost a year now, and my menstrual cycle has been all over the place because of this device, and I also think that it's actually contributed to a lot of my lately I've been noticing, like, because I battled depression in the past, and I noticed like some of those anxiety and depression symptoms or things popping in my head of not feeling like I want to do this or do that has been popping in my head again. I'm like, I don't know what it is. It has to be this implant that I've had, because ever since I got it, it's like everything's been out of whack. But I am actually going to probably get it out pretty soon because I just haven't, it's not been enjoyable to have it. And I'm like, if we have one more, I guess we have one more because, but seriously though, I would be interested in tests because I honestly did not know that. I did not know that. It makes sense because when I've been on the menstrual cycle, I have noticed that I'm very more empathic, if you will, I guess people can chalk it up to just hormones, but I really start absorbing like other people's emotions and feelings. And I know because I do my research and I've been, more on the spiritual journey a little bit, that it's not just my hormones. So I'm like, it's definitely, I'm having both at the same time, and I need to figure out a way to kind of, because I'm still learning how to basically shield myself and ground myself, because I just want to put this out there, and I probably should have said this, but who knows, maybe these teenagers will listen to this podcast, but I was at Barnes & Noble not too long ago, and there was a group of teenagers, and they were taking pictures and stuff, but then they started wandering off, by a bunch of books now. Barnes & Noble's discounts a lot of the tarot card books and the spell books and stuff like that. And I just feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, I feel like if you're going to dive into spirituality and learn about different, crystals and tarot cards and, even the love spells, I don't personally do any spells or anything like that, but you really should learn to ground and shield yourself and know what you're getting yourself into, because I feel like that you can open yourself up to things that are not so much just negative energy, but just you, if you're not really knowing how to do that, then you can open yourself and be vulnerable to things you might not understand. And I don't know if you want to touch on that, but I felt called in that moment to say something, but he didn't. And because I was like, what do I say to them? What do I even go up and be this crazy lady that just hey, also, but I felt the nudging feeling, and it was kind of loud in my head. You need to tell them something. But I was like, what? I'm not going to just pop in and be like, hey, you guys are taking a picture, but I noticed you guys looking at this love spell book, be careful, but. So I don't know, if you've ever felt because I don't know if you noticed that in your bookstores or anything, but I noticed that a lot, that they're catering to younger and younger, teenagers. And I have no problem with obviously learning about your spirituality, because I think that's important, but I think that if you have the proper mentor, then that's the healthy way to go. But if you just start practicing without knowing really what you're getting yourself into or learning about, that you might go down a different rabbit hole, if you will.
No. Oh, yeah. I've had experiences in my past where I didn't shield, or, you know, I didn't really protect myself. And I agree with you. It can be a rabbit hole. And it is really important to cleanse and protect. I actually have a meditation, a free meditation. I'll share it with you so you could share it with your audience.
Yes, please.
all about protecting and cleansing our energy. And that's one main thing that I stress and I teach when I teach Reiki, because, and to all my clients, because it's very important. It's very important to, because we, yeah, just as we're open to positive angels and guides and our higher self, we are just as open to the darkness and to the shadows. And it's a slippery slope unless you do have guidance or that grounding energy to protect you, because yeah, it's a wild world out there.
I'm interested as a teenager too, and but you know, I went with my cousin to a bookstore. She didn't care, so like, but I didn't have anyone to really tell me like, hey, you might want to just be a little bit careful about that. And like, I didn't really end up exploring more. I just kind of like had the book and then didn't really use it. And then I was like, later on, like I said, spirituality found me instead. So, but I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want you to be able to share like what is something that's new in the forecast, or like anything that you would like to share to kind of close off with.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it. So if you're listening, you can follow me on Instagram at Michelle the Mystic. And right now you can listen to my podcast. I have two and a half years of episodes and spiritual topics. It's called Soul Over Matter Podcast. I also have some offerings, some recorded offerings. I have a moon guide ebook. So if you are interested in learning about the moon, especially as a woman, working with the moon can really shift a lot of our realities. And yeah, I will be offering Reiki level 1 and 2 certification courses. And I also do one-on-one intuitive sessions. So if you are in need of guidance with your purpose, with a change in your life, you can... yeah, head over to Michelle the Mystic on Instagram.
Well, I definitely would love to look more at all your stuff, because I'm telling you guys need to go to her Instagram and look at her page, because she has amazing content, and that's how I found her. And we just are probably going to have another episode pretty soon. There's so much to talk about and so much to dive on that it's just incredible, this journey. And if you feel alignment with somebody, connect with them, because most chances are you guys are supposed to be connected in some way, somehow. So thank you so much, Michelle. I hope you have a good rest of your day, and I look forward to having you on the future, being on your podcast in the future.
Thank you so much, Britt.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please leave feedback and let me know what topics you would like to talk about next. I'm excited to keep this journey with you, and thank you for listening to Hello Gorgeous Mama.